May only God's word be spoken, and only God's word be heard. Amen. What a blessing to be with all of you this morning. Thank you, Steve, for welcoming me back to this pulpit. I am an Episcopal priest and a longtime climate activist, and I have the world's longest job title. I work as Missioner for Creation Care for the Episcopal Diocese of Western Massachusetts and for the United Church of Christ in Massachusetts. You'll notice I'm not a missionary, which is a word that's often associated with trying to convert somebody, but I'm a missioner, which means someone who has been sent out on a mission, someone who's been sent out to serve God beyond the boundaries of a building. As Missioner for Creation Care, I travel in and beyond Massachusetts, preaching and speaking and leading retreats about the sacredness of God's creation and our call to become faithful stewards of God's good earth, and particularly our call to address climate change. The God whom we meet so intimately in our depths is the same God who sends us out into the world to be healers and justice seekers. My website is revivingcreation.org, if you'd like to read articles or sign up for blog posts. My sermon this morning boils down to three words, so if you forget everything else, I hope you just remember these three words. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. That is the phrase I often find myself saying to friends as we prepare to go our separate ways. Keep the faith. Other people have other favorite go-to phrases when they say goodbye. I grew up listening to Walter Cronkite, signing off at the end of every nightly newscast, "That's the way it is." Before him, there was Edward R. Murrow. You remember, he ended his radio and TV broadcasts with the words, "Good night and good luck." And as long as we're talking about television, let's not forget Dr. Spock from Star Trek with his farewell blessing, and I'm not going to try to do that thing with my hand. Live long and prosper. I like all these expressions, but what I need to say and what I need to hear is keep the faith. We live in a precarious time, a time of turmoil for all kinds of reasons. And many of us feel rattled and anxious, and we brace ourselves for the next bit of bad news. So how glad I am that today, the second Sunday of Lent, we are invited to remember Abraham, our brother in the faith, our father in the faith, the father of all of us, as St. Paul puts it in his letter to the Romans. When the story begins, Abraham is the archetype of someone who is stuck in a hopeless place, right? A place of no faith. He's 99 years old, for heaven's sake. His body is already as good as dead, as St. Paul points out. He has no children by his wife, Sarah, and she's no spring chicken either. So the data would suggest the situation is hopeless, and it's reached a dead end. The man who for so long has wished for progeny, he's all washed up. He's at the end of his rope, and the future is barren. The door is closed. But then he has an encounter with God, and that changes everything. We don't hear the details of that encounter in today's reading, though in another passage from Genesis, it seems that Abraham's experience took place at night, in the desert, out under the stars. Abraham encounters a God of life, a creative God with the power to make all things new. A God, says St. Paul, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This wild and life-giving God, a God of justice and mercy, makes a covenant with Abraham, an unshakable bond, and promises him offspring and a good land and a good future. None of those promises are visible yet. None of them has yet come to be. But Abraham's faith awakens. It comes alive. He puts his faith in God. He trusts in God's presence. He trusts in God's power. He casts his lot with a God of infinite love and creativity, a God who has the power to restore and to make whole. And in response to God's call, Abraham sets out in faith. And I want to emphasize that last point. He sets out. He walks. Today's first reading makes it clear that faith is active, not passive. Faith is practiced and made manifest in action. And you notice the first thing that Yahweh says to Abram in today's reading. God says, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." Walk. Don't stand still. Don't get passive. Don't get stuck and hopeless. Don't wait for someone else to do something. Get going. Get moving. Take action. And don't walk alone. Walk before me, Yahweh says, and be blameless. It's as if God were an unseen presence and power that is somehow behind us, as if our job is to clear the way for divine love to move through us freely and fully, like a river that flows through us and out into the world, so that all people and all beings can be blessed and healed and reconciled. Our task in the course of a day is to stay in conscious contact with God, so that as far as possible, we are walking before God, not walking alone, not being driven around by our ego or by our anxiety. Activists generally rely on people power. They depend on people power. But spiritual activists, people who walk in faith, rely on God power. It is God who energizes and emboldens us. God who gives us power to do more than we can ask or imagine. And you know, we live in a time that cries out for the imagination and determination and heart of people of faith. The web of life is unraveling before our eyes. Great populations of creatures, even entire species, are rapidly disappearing from Earth. Scientists are talking about what they're calling a mass extinction event, what they're calling a biological annihilation. In addition to species extinction, we also face a changing climate. Because of the relentless burning of fossil fuels, month after month, our planet is breaking records for heat. As Bill McKibben wrote, "Our old familiar globe is suddenly melting, drying, acidifying, flooding, and burning in ways that no human has ever seen. To cite just one example of how burning fossil fuels is affecting our planet, a recent study examined all the major research on oxygen loss in the ocean and concluded that over the past 50 years, the amount of water in the open ocean that is without oxygen has quadrupled. As one headline puts it, the ocean is losing its breath. To put it another way, the ocean is suffocating. Lest we imagine that land creatures will not be affected, one scientist points out that about half of the oxygen on Earth comes from the ocean. A professor of marine science who reviewed the study commented that the need for action was best summarized by the motto of the American Lung Association: if you can't breathe, nothing else matters. So I guess you could say that's one reason I'm a climate activist. I like to breathe. Climate change is not one of, you know, the 26 causes that we care about. It's a cause that affects everything that we care about, everything that we cherish. If you care about the poor, you care about climate change. If you care about immigration and refugees, you care about climate. If you care about public health, you care about climate. If you care about human rights, you care about climate. If you care about loving God and loving your neighbor, you care about climate. Climate justice is not an issue for a special interest group. If you like to breathe, if you like to eat, if you'd like to leave your children a world they can live in, you care about climate. And you know, to heal God's creation, there is so much that we can do as individuals. Maybe we can plant a tree, or save a tree, recycle more, drive less, eat local, eat organic, eat less meat, and move to a plant-based diet. Maybe we can support local land trusts and nonprofits that focus on conservation. We can fly less, and if we must fly, buy carbon offsets. Maybe we can afford solar panels and move toward a carbon-neutral home. If we have investments, we can divest from fossil fuels, and if we are college graduates, we can urge our alma mater to divest. Individual changes, individual actions do make a difference. But because of the scope and speed of the climate crisis, we need more than individual action. We need systemic change. And to do that, we will have to confront the powers that be, especially when multinational corporations and members of our own government seem intent on desecrating every last inch of God's creation, pillaging every last natural resource, destroying every last habitat, and abandoning every last regulation, rule, treaty that preserve clean air and water and maintain the stability of our global climate. Under the circumstances, I wonder at what point the practice of carrying out civil disobedience will become as normative for Christians as the practice of prayer. And you know, we'll also have to confront versions of Christianity that contend that God has given us license to pillage and destroy the natural world, as if everything on God's green earth were placed here solely for the benefit and the pleasure of a single species, Homo sapiens, or at least its privileged elite. Scott Pruitt, head of the Environmental Protection Agency, revealed this week in an interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network that he believes that the Bible gives human beings the quote-unquote responsibility to harvest natural resources like coal and oil, although we know full well that burning these fuels is wrecking the planet entrusted to our care. As Mother Jones reports in its cover profile of Pruitt in its newest issue, the EPA chief's beliefs are rooted in a version of Christianity that is the polar opposite from that of other religious leaders, including Pope Francis, who interpret stewardship as the responsibility humans have to protect God's creation. When corporate and political powers set us on a path of disaster, when they remain hell-bent on locating and extracting and burning as much coal, gas, and oil as they possibly can, never mind the potentially catastrophic effects of what they're doing, the time has come for us to unleash our faith, to make it visible, to make it bold. So I give thanks for the story of God's covenant with Abraham, our father in the faith. It reminds me that in a perilous time, God calls forth a people who put their trust in a power greater than themselves, a people who start walking even if they have no map and who must create the map as they go, a people with the God-given imagination to envision a future in which the land will prosper and our offspring will thrive, a people who trust in the creative and liberating power of the God who is within them and among them and beyond them and behind them, making a way where there is no way, giving life to the dead, and calling into existence the things that do not exist. So thank you for whatever you are doing, whatever you have done, whatever you will do to reweave the web of life. Thank you for the ways you love God and all our neighbors, human and other than human. You know, we are all of us are missioners for creation care. Everyone who shares the faith of Abraham, everyone who follows Jesus, every one of us here is a missioner for creation care. Thank you for being on the journey with me. Keep the faith.